great to be able to say hello to you and give you my love at this Easter time. I'm sitting at the bottom of my garden, which is very nice, and we have a family of robins that are nesting nearby, so they may come and say hello at some point. We are living at the moment in the tension of the best of times and the worst of times. We're living in the best of times because at the moment we are celebrating Easter, the time when Jesus' life, death and resurrection came and changed everything. But we're also living in the worst of times because we're living in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic. And things are very difficult. I personally don't know anybody who has died, but I do know of four friends who have lost either family members or close friends. And so this thing is coming very close and it's touching us and it is causing some fear. And so we are living in this tension that even in the Easter story, there is tension, that we have to live with this tension of both life and death. And this morning I was sitting outside and I was listening to that great Easter hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," and listening to that line that says, "When sorrow and love flow mingled down." And that is often what we have, isn't it? Life and death together, and sorrow and love flowing, mingled down. And we need to learn to navigate these complexities of life really well. I'm going to look today at three passages from the book of Romans. I'm being heckled by a robin. We're going to look at three passages from the book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is this amazing, many people think it was a sermon that was written to some Jewish converts. Nobody actually is really sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, but people do know that they were going through a really difficult time. They were going through some unique challenges that the writer of Hebrews calls this time of being disciplined. And so if you've got your Bibles there, can you please turn to Hebrews chapter 12? And I'm going to read verse 11 to 14 from the ESV version of the Bible. Hebrews 12, verse 11. "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight your paths, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." These people that this letter was written to, they were going through a difficult time. And the writer uses this Old Testament sort of like poetic language that they would have loved. They would have identified with it. They would have resonated with it. But he was saying, no, I want you to keep going. It says, lift your drooping hands. Strengthen your weak knees. Be trained by this moment. And I think that the Lord would say to us right now, I think he would say, I want you to be trained by this moment that we find ourselves in right now. They are tough times. And I don't know the tough times that you personally are going through. It may be the tough times of loneliness, of being in your house all alone. It may be the tough times of the headaches from all the Zoom meetings that we all seem to be having at the moment. It may be the tough times of the opposite of loneliness. You may have the tough times of having too many people around you crawling over you all the time. You could be the tough times of knowing that you have to go to work and deliberately put yourself in harm's way to care for those people with COVID-19. You may be worried about the health of your relatives. You may be worried about your own health in the last couple of weeks. I haven't been particularly well, and I just need to let you know, I've struggled to pray. I've been able to read my Bible, but I've been struggling to pray at the moment. But I think the Lord is saying to us, use this time well. Use this time now that we are in to be trained, to care for your soul, to learn how to be strong in the Lord. And how would the writer of Hebrews say that we should do that? Well, firstly, I don't think he would say just grin and bear it and get on with it and, you know, by your own strength and your own resolve, get through this thing. I don't think either he would say, look, just stick your head in the sand and ignore what is going on. Nor do the opposite of look at every single news program and try and understand everything that is going on. No, I think the writers of the Hebrews would say exactly the opposite. To face hardship and fear and suffering head on. Look at suffering in the eye and say this: my Jesus is stronger than you. My Jesus is bigger than you. And when all this COVID-19 stuff is done and dusted, and when it's history, do you know what? Jesus will still be seated on the throne next to his Heavenly Father. He'll be seated because everything is done. And he'll be next to his Heavenly Father because he is ruling and reigning on high. I think the writer of Hebrews says again and again and again, it doesn't matter what we come up against. It doesn't matter who we come up against. There is nothing that is greater than Jesus. There are no angels that are more superior than Jesus. There are no humans that are better than Jesus. There are no demons that are better than Jesus. Jesus defeats death. Jesus brings life. He is the Son of God. He is fully human. He is in control and he has authority over all things. And sometimes it may not look like it is when we see everything that's going on around us. But at the end of time, we will look back and we say, no, Jesus, you were in control. So what evidence is there? Do we just take what the writer to Hebrews says here when he says, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make your path straight? Do we just say, okay, we believe it? Well, I think it's true, but at Easter time, we need to look for more than that. And we have to do what the writer to Hebrews does and focus on Jesus. Focus on his life and death and resurrection. If you can, just turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 14 to 17. They're not verses that we would often read, to be honest, at Easter. But they just describe what Jesus has done, what he does at Easter time. Because we need to learn how to face the trials that we're in at the moment and come out stronger, not weaker. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 says this: since therefore the children, that's you and me, share in flesh and blood, he, Jesus, himself, likewise partook of the same things. That's just saying that Jesus became flesh. That through the death, his death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. There are an awful lot of people at the moment who are just really fearful of death. And the only thing that does is put them in a place of lifelong slavery. But Jesus breaks us free from that. For surely it is not the angels that he helps, it says in verse 16, but he helps the offspring of Abraham, that is you and me. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers. He had to be made like us in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. And the key thing to remember, first of all, is this. At Easter, is that Jesus was a human being exactly like you and me. Real flesh, real human being. He had a human birth, a human body. He grew tired. He grew hungry. He was emotional. And ultimately, as we all will, he died. And years later, when you can read John in 1 John 1, he talks about this fact that he was really with Jesus. And he's like this excited child. He just keeps repeating himself. We were there. We saw him. We walked with him. We talked with him. It was amazing. We touched with him. We touched him. We ate with him. And then he goes on again. And we were there. We saw it. We heard him. We were with him. He almost can't get over the fact that he was there with this man that was a carpenter. And yet he too was God. Jesus had a human mind. He grew in wisdom. He grew in obedience. And he trained himself. Well, I think the first 30 years of Jesus' life must have been relatively mundane and boring. He He learned a trade. He learned to be a carpenter. He dealt with all his family and he dealt with his brothers and sisters. He did life. He did whatever God wanted him to do. But at the same time, he trained himself. He prayed with extraordinary passion, the scripture says. It says he went and worshipped in the synagogues. It said he read and he memorized scriptures. It said he kept the heart of the Sabbath and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He trained himself. And like we're saying, oh, we need to train ourselves in this moment of trial and difficulty. Jesus trained himself as well. Now, why? Why is it so important to remind ourselves that Jesus was fully a human being? I'll tell you why. Because he can sympathize with our situation right now. He can sympathize with us. He understands what it is like to go through trials. He understands what it is like to go through suffering. He understands. He sympathizes with us. Hebrews 4 verse 15 says this: "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and yet was without sin." It's an extraordinary moment. Jesus, the real human being, who is able to sympathize and understand our situation right now. The second thing to take from these verses in Hebrews 2 is this, that when Jesus died, he destroyed the power of death. The Message version of this, of one of these verses here, it says that Jesus freed everyone who cowers in life, scared to death of death. I love it. He freed everybody who cowers in this life, who is scared to death of death. He freed them. He liberated them. Jesus became our merciful high priest, and he took on him the anger that was due to come to me. I you know, what I deserve is condemnation from God. And yet when I come to Jesus, I'm the recipient of God's love and kindness and gentle mercy. Now, the only person that really can be punished in my place is somebody who is exactly like me. My study Bible says this: it was a man that died on the cross when Jesus died. And his death truly atones for the sin of human beings whose nature he shared. It was Jesus. He had to be fully a human being to suffer in our place. And then Hebrews uses this word propitiation. And it's a weird word, but all it means is this, that it was a sacrifice that turned away God's anger. God should have been angry with you. And he should have been angry with me. And that is what we deserve. But when Jesus died in our place, our substitute, God's anger was turned away from me and away from you and onto him. I always think, why is it called Good Friday? It's not a very good Friday because Jesus died. I need to let you know, my friends, it is the best day ever. Because it's the day that God's anger turned away from me and turned on to Jesus. And Jesus died and he paid the price. You know, occasionally I hear friends of mine who say, well, yeah, I'm not really sure about being a Christian because I've never really been a particularly bad person. Or they might say the other thing, the other way, and they might say, well, to be honest, I can't become a Christian because I've been too bad a person. And whenever I hear people say that, I quite like it. Not because they're right, by the way, they're wrong, but I like it because at least they're trying to engage with what it means to be right with God. But when people say I've never really been a bad person, the definition of a good person is not that you've helped old ladies across the road, or if you averaged everybody's niceness out, you would be slightly above the average niceness of humanity, or that you've managed to get through life without murdering too many people. No, the definition of good is this, that you have loved the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And nothing less.
And I don't think there are many of us that have done that. And so none of us are good enough. And then when somebody comes and says, well, I don't think I'm good enough to be a Christian, you think, yes, you're right. That is exactly the point. None of us are good enough. But Jesus has taken the punishment for us. Anybody that doesn't understand their sinfulness has no need of Jesus Christ. If you think you're generally good enough, you have no need of Jesus. It's only when we realize the effect of our sin that we come to a place of needing Jesus. And then the last thing is this, that the resurrection changes everything. The writer of Hebrews finishes the letter or the sermon. If you go to Hebrews chapter 13, and let me read the last few verses of Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, chapter 20, says this. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Christ Jesus, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I think the resurrection was probably the greatest I told you so moment, when Jesus had been saying, no, this is who I am, believe in who I am. And then on Easter Sunday morning, the spark of life returns to Jesus. And everything that he ever said about himself was proven to be true. And not only that, do we celebrate the defeat of death, but also Hebrews is saying this, that same resurrection power that brought Christ back from the dead, from being cold and lifeless to suddenly being alive again, restored and renewed, that same resurrection power is available today to you and me. So that as we go through Easter and as we go through this really difficult time, we are not going through this on our own. But we go through it with Christ at our side. We go through it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we do live in a time of tension right now. Good and evil, side by side. Sorrow and love flowing, mingled down. The goodness of Easter and the evil of this virus. But now is the time to be strengthened. Now is the time to be encouraged. Now is the time to train ourselves, to put our trust in our supreme, merciful high priest, who is able to sympathize with us and bring us spotless before our Heavenly Father. God be with you, my friends. Stay safe in Christ.